Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we are high atop the beautiful Tower of Hope in Christ Cathedral, Garden Grove, California, in the Diocese of Orange. And we have another exciting show for you. We have someone who has turned out to be a very dear friend of ours at Spirit-Filled Hearts and of mine. We have Kathy Terrio on the show. Welcome to the show, Kathy.
Thank you, Steve.
It's so wonderful to see you and to be with you and your wonderful family, Bill and Sandy. Kathy, we're going to be talking about victory over trials. We have had, all of us, many trials in our lives, and you certainly have had your share of trials, and we're going to talk about that and how Jesus told us in John 10:10, I've come to give you life and life abundantly, and I have come to heal you and bless you and fill you with the Holy Spirit. I've come to be there for you. And over again, Jesus tells us that just to trust in him, you know, we think about divine mercy chaplet, Jesus, I trust in you. Get out your Bibles. Let's take a look at Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. My brothers and sisters, some of you right now are struggling with cancer, with all kinds of ailments, physical ailments, emotional ailments, depression, family issues. You're worried right now about a spouse, perhaps, that you're having a troubled marriage, or children that have walked away from the faith or on drugs, or financial problems, or perhaps you're close to losing your house. Do not give up. Do not give up. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus has a plan. And Jesus told us through St. Paul in Romans 8:28, that all things work for good, for he who loves the Lord is called according to his purpose. We're told in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 that in all circumstances give thanks, for this is the will for you in Christ Jesus. That's kind of hard to do, Kathy, right? To give thanks in the midst of trials and
so
forth.
It is hard.
It's very, very hard, and we're going to get into your story here. But tell us about your background. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Los Alamitos, California.
Los Alamitos, local Orange County girl.
Yes.
Awesome. And what high school did you go to?
I went to St. Anthony, and then later I went to Cypress High School.
Awesome. Okay. And so that's wonderful. And tell us about your faith. You grew up as a Catholic.
Well, actually, my mom left the church for 20 years,
okay,
and my dad was Methodist.
Okay.
But he went to St. Louis University, which was Catholic. He was an anesthesiologist. And so there was a 20-year struggle for them when my mom left the church. And at one point, he would want to come back or she would want to come back, but never at the same time. And my grandmother, my father's mother, was very strong Methodist and had Methodist ministers. After she died, I think that kind of opened the way, and my parents came, and when I was 12, I became a Catholic.
Oh, awesome. You know, the Holy Spirit was there powerfully.
Yes.
And so from there, how long have you been married?
I've been married almost 32 years.
Oh, fantastic.
We got married in 1985.
Where did you and Bill meet?
We actually met at St. Matthew's Church. I had been praying for about 5 years to find the right person because I felt some of my choices weren't good. And I asked God to help me find the person, for him to pick the person for me. And we met actually at the altar at St. Matthew's Church. I was praying in front of the Blessed Mother.
Oh, I'm wonderful. And the Blessed Mother is there for us. And do you pray the rosary?
Yes.
Yeah, it's so special. And for everyone out there, please turn to our mother, our spiritual mother. She is there interceding for us and loving us. St. Matthew's is located where?
In Long Beach.
In Long Beach. Okay, great. So tell us about your faith life. You got married, and then were you always active in church, or was it more growing?
I started going to charismatic prayer groups when I was 15. But like many young adults, you know, there's kind of a battle of your soul between the world and God. And there were many influences around me, even within the prayer group, that weren't good. And so I struggled with that as well. But in that, I kept praying and having a desire to be close to God. And I would say somewhere in my 20s, I finally settled down. I came to a point where, you know, some of my decisions had backfired in my face. And I felt helpless, and I turned myself over to God, and that's when I was pretty firmly set on that road.
Was it one given point in time, or was it more gradual?
It was gradual, but there was a given point in time after getting out of a very difficult relationship that I kind of almost imaged myself kneeling down in the gutter and saying, okay, Lord, I was kind of asking him before then, do my will. And then I was willing, okay, Jesus, I need to turn myself over to your will.
My brothers and sisters, we're talking about victory over trials. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. I atop the Tower of Hope with Kathy Terrio, who is a cancer survivor and has had her share of trials. And it's so important that we make a decision to follow Jesus, that we at some point in time say, yes, Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I give you my mind. I'm asking you right now, have you done that? Let's take a look at Matthew 7:7. It says, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open. My brothers and sisters, we must seek. We must look to have Jesus take over our lives. You know, it's interesting. I was just listening to a CD by Father Jim Nesbitt, who is one of my favorite priests. I don't know if you've ever seen him before, Kathy, but he's often at SCRC. But Father Jim talked about through weakness, God can use you. And when we surrender ourselves, my brothers and sisters, when we basically say, Lord, I can't do it, but only you can do it through me, that is the beginning of all life. It's beginning of faith, it's beginning of life, which is so important. And so we all struggle, but as you said, Kathy, when we have that moment in time where we say, okay, Lord, I'm drawing a line in the sand and I'm giving my life to you, and it makes a huge difference.
Yes, it does.
Now, you have a beautiful daughter who we love dearly.
Sandy.
And how'd you name her Sandy?
Well, her name, Alexandra, believe it or not, is the full name. Sandy is short for Alexandra, and it means healing helper of mankind.
Woohoo! I love that.
Yes.
And that's, she helps us at Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry in so many different ways. And a shout out to you, Sandy. She's wonderful and has the Spirit of the Lord within her in such a big way. So you're married now. Were you active in church at all during this time?
Yes. We had been involved in pro-life, in leadership, in prayer groups. And, you know, for a long time before I became ill, we would go to daily mass and, pray the rosary every day and try to be involved.
That's wonderful. And I know Bill was telling me how you have a history of praying with people over people, too.
Yes.
And that's really important. And for everyone out there who perhaps struggles with the whole concept of the fact that Jesus heals us and wants to heal us, and that when we surrender our hearts to him, and it makes such a big difference. And there are a lot of prayer groups out there, charismatic and otherwise, that pray over people, and obviously the anointing of the sixth sacrament. Why is it important, do you think, to humble yourself to be prayed over?
Well, if you want to be healed by Jesus, you have to be willing to say yes, because he comes to the door and knocks. He doesn't force himself on us. So we have to give him permission.
Amen. You know, that whole concept, my brothers and sisters, of permission, it's just so important. And we've talked about asking, you will receive. You know, and this is, again, as we take a look at Luke 11. And Luke 11, again, starts out, Luke 11, chapter 11, starts out with verse 9, the same as Matthew 7:7, asking you will receive, seeking you'll find, knocking the door will be open. But then it says, we who are wicked, who know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask for it? So we must ask for the Holy Spirit. We must ask the Lord to heal us spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. It's so important because humility is a big part of our faith journey.
I think that's one of the difficulties, is realizing that God, our Father, is not necessarily like our Father here on earth. Because in my growing up, there was a lot of pain in my family and a lot of alcoholism and different trials. And so the pain there can make you believe that God doesn't love you or doesn't want to heal you. And so we have to accept that God is love, and he does love us. And despite the frailties of our family or whoever may have hurt us, that he does have our best in mind.
This is Deacon Steve Greco on Powered by the Spirit. We're going to be right back to talk more about victory over trials.
Would you like an opportunity to read and discuss inspiring books by bright Catholic authors? The OC Catholic Book Club offers quarterly book titles reviewed and chosen by Bishop Kevin Vann. Every 3 months, members gather to meet the author and hear informed commentary about the book by local church scholars. Membership in the OC Catholic Book Club includes 4 books and tickets to the author forums. For more information, visit occatholic.com/oc-catholic-book-club or call 714-282-3045.
We're back on Empowered by the Spirit with Kathy Terrio, Deacon Steve Greco. We're talking about victory over trials. And at the end of the first break, Kathy, you had kind of mentioned growing up in a family of where you had lots of trials through alcoholism and issues as it relates to maybe not feeling loved or not feeling valued. Tell us more about that.
Well, I think it all comes down to you can't give away what you don't have. And my parents, if you go back to their parents, it was the same kind of thing, and on and on and on through the family line. There was alcoholism and mental problems. My grandmother died in a mental hospital at only 22 years old. And so there was a lot of pain. And when you're a kid, you don't understand these things. And I didn't understand. And I looked to my father and mother as if they were my heavenly father and the blessed mother, because I admired them so much. And so in the reflection of them not being able to mirror back love to me, because I don't think they felt love themselves or for themselves, they couldn't give that to me. And so in that way, my self-image was damaged.
And you get disappointed and you get down on yourself, and that's when addictions happen.
Exactly.
All kinds of issues happen. And my brothers and sisters, Jesus told us in Matthew 16:33, in the world you have trouble, but take courage. I have conquered the world. You know, it's so important that we have our expectations on Jesus, our vision on Jesus, our focus on Jesus. We think of, in Matthew, Jesus walking on the water, and he beckons to Peter in the boat. He says, come to me, come out of the boat. And this is just so powerful, because we can see in our mind's eye Peter walking on water, excited, full of the Holy Spirit, full of life, walking to Jesus, eyes focused on Jesus. And then what's he do?
He looks down.
He looks at the waves, right? He looks at these huge waves along his side, which is the adversity, the trials we have in life. And when your eyes, my brothers and sisters, are not focused on Jesus, but focused on the trial, the adversity, the challenges, what did he do?
He started to sink.
He sank quickly, and Jesus had to rescue him and put his hand out, and he put his hand out towards Jesus. And that's what's so important. You know, Jesus tells us in Matthew 7:24-27, everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and buffeted the house, but it did not collapse, it had been built solidly on rock. And everyone who listens to these words of mine but does not act on them will be like a fool who built his house on sand. So it's how we build our house when we have these trials. Is it built on solid ground, or when the storms come, and not if they come, but when they come, how do we respond to them? And you certainly had a storm come in, I believe, March of 2015,
mm-hmm.
when you were diagnosed with cancer. Tell us about that.
Well, it was a big shock. My mom died of cancer, and so in our family, it was considered a death sentence. And to back up a little bit, I had met you for the first time, Steve, in about November or December of 2014. I saw you at a Life in the Spirit seminar, and you had come to pray for my family afterward. So during before I had the cancer, I started listening to some of your radio programs. And one of the things I heard on there, I felt prompted by the Spirit to pay close attention to what you were saying. And I heard that I should praise. You had talked about being healed through praise, transformation through praise. And you mentioned that at each prayer group, it was important that God had told you that you needed to praise for an hour before if you wanted to be open to the Spirit. So I felt God tugging on my heart saying, you know, I need to do that, because although I'd been involved for many years in prayer groups, in my own prayer life, I prayed many things, but I found it difficult to praise. And so I took that as a challenge. I started praising every day for about an hour. I would listen to a CD that you had, Transformation Through Praise. And then it became a couple hours, and it seemed to be changing me inside and opening up this door to God's healing because of this wound from when I was younger. And that's when I found out I had cancer a couple months later. And before that, each time I would go to get a mammogram, I would almost pass out. This is the first time I felt a sense of peace. I guess God has a sense of humor, but he also gives you what you need when you need it. And I didn't fall apart, and I continue to pray sometimes 3 hours a day. And so that's what enabled me to get through the chemotherapy, the radiation, the lumpectomy, all of it. And to be able, I know, one day we will all be in the loving arms of our Father. But while we're here, God has many gifts to give us and healing. And I would not have been able to believe or be receptive to the fact that he would be able to heal me or would want to heal me, because I still had that feeling that I just wasn't good enough.
My brothers and sisters, it's so important that we understand that when we praise God, we enter into his courts, which is in Psalm 22. In Psalm 150, it says, "Let everyone that has breath give praise to the Lord." In Hebrews 13:15-16, "Through him let us continuously offer God a sacrifice of praise that's a fruit of lips that confess his name." Praise changes everything. When we praise God, we're not focused on ourselves, and praising God means that we focus on the attributes of God, who God is. He is our healer, our redeemer, our savior. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great I Am. He is the Prince of Peace. He is our deliverer, our redeemer and savior, our comforter, our advocate. He is our rock. He is peace. He is the Word made flesh. He is the God of love. What does praise do to really give us strength?
I think instead of us just mumbling and going about trying to muster up our own strength, it enables the Holy Spirit to come in and pray for what we really need and to heal whatever's going on and to empower you to do whatever it is God needs you to do, or to handle whatever trial you're going through.
When we praise God, we're not focused on ourselves. We're not
focused on
our trial.
Right.
We're focused on God. And isn't it interesting how much peace that we get when we praise God?
Yes. Well, I think it's like what you said about when Peter was walking across the water. We're looking at God instead of looking at the waves crashing. And oftentimes when I'm praying, I envisioned that in my prayer is and all through my cancer that I would be looking at Jesus and I would run across the water. And when I'd start to want to look down, I'd say, no, I don't want to drown. And that gave me a sense of peace.
In Philippians 4:8, it says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And that's one of the most important things that we have to deal with is really controlling the thoughts of our minds.
Mm-hmm.
2 Corinthians 10:4-5, for the weapons of our battle are not as flesh, but are enormously powerful, capable of destroying fortresses. We destroy arguments and every pretense raising itself against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. Tell us, Kathy, why is it so important to really win that battle of our mind?
Well, we're not fighting with flesh and blood, but powers and principalities. And so if we're going to win that battle, then we have to have, you know, that power behind us. And our power is just pure weakness. It's God and the Holy Spirit. And when we praise and pray, it kind of takes us into the throne room of God and with the holy angels around us to protect us and gives us what we need.
And we have that hope, knowing the fact that God is with us. You know, Jeremiah 29:11-13, it says, I know well the plan I have for you, plans for your welfare, not for woe, to give you a future full of hope. When you call me, come pray to me, I will listen to you. When you look for me, you will find me. Yes, when you seek me with all of your heart. Hope, in the midst of trial, when we focus on Jesus, we focus on his hope, it changes everything.
It does change everything because it's almost like another world, the spiritual world. When I'm looking at my circumstances, I feel pulled down. When I praise and when I pray and when I turn myself over to God, then his view of the situation comes into my heart and mind, and that lifts me up.
You know, it's so important, my brothers and sisters, to have this hope. It's so important to understand that God wants to bless you and heal you. Think about how much you love the people closest to you, a spouse, your children, your grandchildren, your best friend. Think about how you do anything for them. Well, if we, again, who are wicked, if we who are sinners, can love that intensely, that passionately, how much more will God love us? How much more does God love us? How much more does God want us healed? And we need to think about those things, that God has our best interests at heart.
That's true.
And so it's so important, Kathy, that we meditate on God's love for us. Is that something that is part of your prayer life?
Yes, I meditate on divine mercy.
Awesome.
Yes, because I know that no matter, I'm not justified, God died with me at my worst in all of my sins, but he loves me and he's reaching out to me with his merciful heart.
Amen. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Powered by the Spirit with Kathy Terrio, high atop the Tower of Hope. We're going to be right back to talk more about victory over trials. Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit, high atop the Tower of Hope with Kathy Terrio. Our topic has been and is victory over trials. And all of us have trials. All of us have challenges. You know, and this is something, again, we see over and over and over again, is that are we going to surrender to our trials? Are we going to surrender to fear? Or are we going to conquer fear? And, you know, it's not a question of whether or not we will have trials. It's what we're going to do as a result of it. Are we going to really have that trust? Are we going to have that faith? 1 Peter 1:6-7 says, in this you rejoice, although now for a little while you have to suffer through various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that is perishable, even though tested by fire, may prove to be for praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Yes, we have suffering, and we often have to fight doubt. Doubt or fear is mentioned so many times in Scripture. The actual word doubt is mentioned 15 times in Scripture. Faith is mentioned over 200 times. You know, it's interesting that we all have dark moments. I think one of the major kind of revelations that happened was with someone that I have, like, I don't know how many books. I think I may be up to 20 books of St. Mother Teresa now that I read, like, constantly, every single week. But how could somebody who is as holy as her have these moments of despair, these moments of fear, these moments of doubt? In her letters to her confessors, St. Mother Teresa wrote, "I have no faith. I dare not utter the words and thoughts that crowd in my heart and make me suffer untold agony." She even said that her constant smile was a mask or cloak that covers everything. Perhaps, my brothers and sisters, you feel that way right now. Perhaps you feel in a world of despair, darkness, hopelessness. Even St. Therese of Lisieux described her doubt, her fear, as a night of nothingness. You see, suffering is part of our journey. But the core of suffering, of doubt, often is fear. Fear that your problem is bigger than God's love. Well, I have good news. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And so one who fears is not yet perfect in love. 1 John 4:16, God is love. Whoever remains in love remains in God, and God is love. You see, the thing that's interesting, my brothers and sisters, is that this constant battle that we have with the enemy and with ourselves is one, do we trust in God? Do we believe in God? Or do we believe in the diagnosis or in fear or in despair? What do we hold on to?
Yes, that's exactly what it was like, because it wasn't just one time that I had to praise or turn my fears over. It was every single day. And I thought of Paul with his thorn in the flesh that Jesus didn't remove and allowed him to be humble. And I don't know if God can, but I don't know if the wound that I have from childhood will ever be completely healed. So every day I had to come to God and turn myself over again and release that fear to him and say, no, I'm not going to trust in the doctor. I'm going to trust in God. He holds the keys to life and death. He's my savior. He's my the divine physician. He's my protector. He's everything. And ultimately, the answer for everything that I'm going through is with him. And I would be fearful that, no, he doesn't want to heal me. And some people would pray, well, if it's God's will. And I finally came to a place where I said, no, whatever God gives us is good. Just as you said, he doesn't give bad gifts to his children. He gives good gifts to his children. If we sinners can do that, then how much more him? So I can't know when the day is that I'm going to leave this earth, but I know that when I come to him, he's going to heal me in one way or another. That's the final healing. And as that went on, at this moment now, I am cancer free, but my life is still in God's hands every day. And I just have to keep renewing that trust in him and trusting that he has my best interest at heart.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And praise the Lord, you're cancer free. And praise the Lord that this has been a transformation of praise, a transformation of faith in which you've gotten closer to Jesus. You know, my brothers and sisters, take a look at 1 Corinthians 10:13. No trial has come to you but what is human. God is faithful and will not let you be tried beyond your strength. And the Lord is saying that he will provide with your trial a way out so you'll be able to bear it. And so God is there to help you. It's so interesting. I was mentioning earlier that I was listening to a CD about weakness and how God uses our own weakness in order to work through us. Because when we're proud or when we think we have the answers or everything is hunky-dory, it's more difficult for God to work with us. In 2 Corinthians 12, St. Paul writes to the Corinthians, "Therefore, that I might not become too elated, a thorn in the flesh was given me, an angel of Satan, to beat me, to keep me from being too elated. And three times I begged the Lord about this, that it might leave me. And he said, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. I'd rather boast most gladly of my weakness in order the power of Christ may dwell within me.' Therefore, I'm content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, constraints for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I'm strong." Your thoughts on that?
Yes, I agree. Every day, because of the way I'm made emotionally, I have to come before God and bow down to him and say, "You're the only God I will serve. I will not put anybody else on a pedestal." Because of that wound that says, "Oh, I want to be loved so much," I have to turn that over to him and only see him as completely trustworthy, because none of us are completely trustworthy. We're weak human beings, even if we have good intentions. And so I have to come to terms with that every day in my prayer.
It's a constant battle, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's a constant battle. And, you know, the interesting thing is how, spending quite a bit of time with priests and very holy people, you know, there's a tendency for us to believe that the holiest of people don't go through trials and don't go through temptations. But it's the human nature to have to battle evil and battle thoughts and battle, you know, pride and battle things that pop in your head. And it's so important to understand that we're not alone, though, that
yes.
we have each other.
We
have strength. And that's why it's so important to be in community.
Yes.
You know, you talked about coming to our prayer meeting and this is at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. And take a look, by the way, at our website. And this is spiritfilledhearts.org, all one word, spiritfilledhearts.org. You can also contact me at deaconsteve@spiritfilledhearts.org. And on our website, we have these CDs, Transformation Through Praise. We have these CDs, Doubt Your Doubt, Not Your Faith, another CD about overcoming adversity. There's 26 different CDs. I think you have every one of them,
yes,
right?
Yes, I do.
I think I got one that you don't
okay.
have. We're going to work on that.
Okay.
But and we just came out with a new book that we're
Yay.
So excited. Expect and Experience Miracles. It is unbelievable. You can order that online, too. But what's so important, again, is understanding the fact that when we're in community, we really get this strength to overcome the weaknesses in our life. We're still going to be weak because God wants us to rely on him, but we're not going to be alone.
That's right. And there's no overdoing the effect of prayer. I could feel the prayers from the prayer group. Sandy, my daughter, as you mentioned earlier, wrote to shrines all over the world, and people at my church were praying for me, and I could actually feel those prayers. I knew people were praying for me, and that really held me up in a very difficult time.
So we're not meant, my brothers and sisters, to be alone. Find a prayer group in your community. Find an area. Find a prayer partner. Find a small group. Crucio grouping, you know, very important. Find people that you can pray with. You know, a Legion of Mary group, St. Vincent de Paul. There's all kinds of things. Knights of Columbus. All kinds of places you can go. But the more pure prayer you have, the better. And I want to do a big shout out right now for Divine Mercy. Divine Mercy Chaplet, because we have 7 o'clock on Monday evenings at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton in Irvine. If you're in the area, come join us, because we have a Divine Mercy Chaplet every Monday night. Why is Divine Mercy Chaplet so important?
I think it helps give the grace to not only be merciful toward other people, but merciful toward ourselves, to realize that no matter what we've done, no matter what we feel others have done to us, that God has forgiven so much for us. And it not only lets us know that in our mind, but it gives us the power in our hearts to actually forgive. Because I don't think you can really, I don't believe you can really forgive without God's grace.
Amen to that. My brothers and sisters, it is so important that we forgive, but we must ask God for the grace to forgiveness, for forgiveness, because he will give us that grace. And it's just so critical that we ask for that grace. And we're going to come right back after the break and talk more about forgiveness as it relates to healing, because this is such a critical topic. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. We're going to talk more about victory over trials and how forgiveness is a huge part of that. We'll be right back. This is Deacon Steve Greco back here on Empowered by the Spirit, high atop the Tower of Hope. Come see us sometime, by the way, at beautiful Christ Cathedral. This place is amazing. And if you want to say hi to me, Deacon Steve at SpiritfulHearts.org. And we're talking about victory over trials. And we have a cancer survivor with us who is a wonderful, full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit woman, Kathy Terrio. And at the end of the last segment, she talked about the power of forgiveness, and we have to have the Holy Spirit come upon us and really help us, because you had mentioned some family issues, some challenges, and many of us have had challenges with our families. Many of us have been abused in different ways, emotionally, even physically, perhaps sexually. It's hard to forgive. Let's take a look at Mark, the Gospel of Mark, and we see Mark 11:23. Amen, I say to you, whoever says this mountain be lifted up and thrown in the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen shall be done for him. Therefore, I tell you that all you ask for in prayer, believe that you'll receive it, and it shall be yours. But then it goes in on the next verse. When you stand to pray, forgive anyone against whom you have a grievance, so that your heavenly Father may in turn forgive you your transgressions. Isn't that interesting how it talks about faith and belief, overcoming trials, overcoming your challenges, throw it, that mountain of challenges and cancer and illness and, you know, all kinds of things into the sea because of our faith, that what we ask for and believe that we'll receive it, it will happen. But then it's not a coincidence that the next verse is that when you pray, forgive people against whom you have a grievance. And being in the healing ministry, Jesus is the healer, but being that vessel of the of really the healing of Jesus through our ministry and through myself and other people, I have found that there are times through the word of knowledge that I've often said it's like praying over a wall. We sense that people have these grudges, this unforgiveness towards parents, towards family members, towards a coworker, towards a boss that fired them. People haven't talked to a brother in 20 years. Maybe that's you right now listening in. You haven't talked to a brother or sister. You haven't talked to a family member, a cousin, someone who was a close friend for many, many years because you have this bitterness. When we have bitterness, it's like drinking poison and expecting it to harm someone else. And it blocks the healing. It blocks healing. And it's so important that we understand that forgiveness and opening our heart to forgiveness is at the very center of all healing.
Yes, that's scripture in a loving way is a real conviction. And in my growing up, and it's not for me to share someone else's sins, but there was physical and sexual abuse in my growing up. And that's one of the things that the world will say, you know, just hate that person. That's such a horrible thing. But when you're standing before God and you want to be healed, you have to forgive even what you may think is the worst thing that someone could do to you. And I had to take this person I many years went to Father Hampsch's healing groups, and or what I did was just visualize this person. It was very difficult at first, but with Jesus there, share my hurt with this person and then embrace this person and allow Jesus's mercy and healing to come through me. You know, those things that I've done, there's so many layers when you forgive someone that there can still be hurt for many years. But continuing to make the act of will, continuing to embrace that person, and that doesn't mean, forgiving does not mean that you're saying what that person did was okay. It just means that you're letting go of the anger and you're praying for their salvation as well as your own, and trying to open up the channel of God's grace so that you can both be healed.
I mean, think about Jesus on the cross, forgive them, Father, for they not know what they're doing. I mean, here he was crucified. All he did was love everyone.
Exactly.
All he did was heal them and bless them and ultimately, obviously, give them the gift of salvation. And he's crucified.
Exactly.
Why should we expect any different, right?
Yes.
You know, and look at Saint Stephen, you know, forgive them as he's being stoned. Over and over again, you see the saints saying, forgive them. You know, we look at our Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We see over and over again, as we judge, so will we be judged. As we forgive, so will we be forgiven. My brothers and sisters, it is not worth it. It is not worth it to hold on to that grudge. And ever notice that when people have problems with forgiveness, they have to constantly remind themselves of why they're not forgiving and remind other people. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but they constantly have to tell you, well, the reason why I haven't spoken to my father in 20 years is because this is what they did to me. Or the reason why I haven't spoken to my brother is because of this, that, whatever. My brothers and sisters, I realize the hurt is real. I realize that you were abused and you were hurt. But so was Jesus. And Jesus forgave. And Jesus is saying, I want to heal you and give you an abundant life. And the only way I can do that is for you to take on my mantle of forgiveness. For you to take on my mantle of love. And yeah, it's hard. And that's why you said something really important. You said, humanly, we can't do it. But we have to surrender to God and ask him, his forgiveness to flow through us.
Yes, it's only through God's power. And at the beginning of some of these things, and many people have suffered much worse, but beginning of some of wanting to forgive, the worst of my trials, I had to see Jesus on the cross, and I could only say the words that I would forgive. I say, I'll do it for you, Jesus, because I didn't want to. But eventually, you realize what you had said, Stephen, that if you are drinking poison, you're not hurting the other person. You're just hurting yourself. And you need to let go. And eventually, I started to feel compassion and love, although the wound is still there, toward the person who had done this to me, because they're trapped in their sin and compulsion.
And one of the most important things we can ever do is pray to the Father in the name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit, the intercession of our Blessed Mother. Lord, help me to see them as you see them. Help me through my mind's eye to really see them as your child, as your son, as your daughter. When you do that, when you make that prayer and really mean it, all of a sudden you'll see their brokenness, their hurt, their wounds. It doesn't justify what they did, but what it shows is the fact that they are also in a bondage.
Yes.
And you can help them out of that bondage by loving them and forgiving them, even though at times It's difficult to do that.
And that doesn't mean that you have to set yourself up. As Mother Angelica said once, you know, if you know somebody has a problem with stealing, you don't leave your purse open and leave the room with the person. So I would never, I'll be honest, allow my daughter to be ever be alone with this person or in a situation because of their struggle. But that's different than forgiving. You can still forgive and release that and pray for the person and pray for what's best for them to become a saint.
So what we've talked about in this victory over trials is that we have to develop a relationship with Jesus. We have to surrender our heart, our soul, our might, and strength to God. And in these moments of trials, we understand that we're truly weak. We're powerless.
Yes.
We're powerless over our bodies, over circumstances that are happening in our life, whatever it might be, relationships, health, whatever it might be, finances. But when we turn to God, when we trust in God, when we pray and let God take over our life, then that's when miracles happen. You're now cancer-free. You look fantastic.
Thank you.
You sound fantastic. God is using you in a mighty way. The miracle of being on this show, right? You never thought that was going to happen.
No.
God is so good, and thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you. God bless you, and God bless everyone who's listening.
Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We praise you from the bottom of our hearts.
Thank you, Lord.
We praise you for the healing that Jesus is giving you, healing of cancers.
Thank you.
Healing, Lord God, in every way, emotionally, physically, spiritually, in every way possible, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the healing of relationships, the healing of cancers, the healing physically, through the power of your love, the power of your Holy Spirit, through the intercession of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, in Jesus' name. And I bless you with every spiritual blessing and all the love of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you all. We'll be with you next week at the same time. This is Deacon Steve Greco, Empowered by the Spirit.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio.